brought you a special present.
What is it? A book?
This is a special book. It was the book my father used to read to me when I was sick, and I used to read it to your father. And today, I'm going to read it to you.
I'll try and stay awake.
Wesley had no money for marriage, so he packed his few belongings and left the farm to seek his fortune across the sea. The law of the land gave Humperdinck the right to choose his bride.
The fabric will make the prince suspect the Gildarians have abducted his love.
You never say anything about killing anyone.
I just happened to look behind us and something is there.
He's obviously seen us with the princess and must therefore die. Pick up one of those rocks, get behind the boulder. The minute his head is in view, hit it with the rock!
I was not a sportsman, that.
I've got my country's 500th anniversary to plan, my wedding to arrange, my wife to murder. I'm swapped.
Jesus, Grandpa, what did you read me this thing for?
Well, who says life is fair? Where is that written? Fencing, fighting, chases, escapes, giants, monsters, torture, revenge, true love, miracles.
Look, I'm retired. I might kill whoever you wanted me to miracle.
He's already dead.
I'll take a look. Bring him in.
It's on my fault being the biggest and the strongest. I don't even exercise.
Welcome to another edition of From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, your monthly podcast, favorite podcast, where we examine and dive deep into films that star wrestlers. I am your co-host, The Cowboy. Hope everybody's doing well. Joined, as always, by my guy, Crossland. Cowboy and Crossland coming at you. Logan, how goes it?
Oh, it's going great, Roger. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good. Life's been busy with the start of football season. That's a big time for me. I go to college as well, which I don't know if all our listeners know, but I go to night school. And so with football and night school in full swing, my free time is limited, but certainly have plenty of free time to carve out time to do this show. It's one of my favorite things to do. So, yourself, Logan, everything's going well? Nothing big going on in your world?
Just having a kid on the way. I mean, it's not here yet, but just preparing for it and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty much, work's been kind of a nightmare lately, but just we're preparing for football season and all that kind of stuff too, where we had been. So it's been kind of hectic. So, other than that, not too much, just trying to survive work on a daily basis, but everything's good.
Good man. And I'm sure you're doing a great job. I'm sure you're doing a great job.
So, I'm trying.
I don't know if we've congratulated you on the show, but congrats again, Logan. It's a blessing. It's going to be good.
Oh yeah.
When's the big day ish?
November 2nd is when it's supposed to be born, but we'll see.
Oh, holy moly. That's coming up quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Your schedule's going to tighten up. We're going to have to do the show at midnight.
Yep.
Or maybe you'll be up at midnight. Perfect.
Yeah, maybe I'll be up at like 3 in the morning. We can squeeze one in.
Hey, you just let me know, buddy. I'm here for you. All right. So we've done a number of movies. This one is a real, real classic, really one that we've kind of had circled from the start that would, you know, any show of this ilk would do. And we thought it was time to pull the trigger on it. We've done a lot of like action flicks. I think the closest thing to and we did Man on the Moon, which, you know, being honest about it, it's a bit of a downer. And we've done, other than that, basically all action flicks, with Stuber being kind of an action comedy. What we decided to do for this month was the 1987 classic Rob Reiner film starring the one, the only Andre the Giant, amongst others, The Princess Bride. Logan, had you seen The Princess Bride prior to me suggesting it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't watch it a ton growing up, but I've watched it plenty of times to know it pretty well. So, but yeah, this one's one of my favorites. So I was really happy when you decided that this is what we were going to do.
Yeah, so I didn't know that. So I know with the 80s, flicks, it's like 50-50 for you, Logan, right? Whether you've seen them or not. So I'm happy you've seen this one. It's a real classic. And yeah, great movie. Just a great movie. Timeless. You can kind of watch it. I watched it, and it was, I might as well have been 8 years old again watching it. It's just one of those flicks. So why don't you tell us your kind of overarching thoughts on the movie, Logan?
All right, yeah, definitely. And yeah, some of my favorite movies are actually from the 80s. I just hadn't seen some of these wrestler movies from the 80s. But yeah, I'll start with my high-level thoughts. I really, really love this movie, like I said. It's one of my absolute favorites. It's a really great love story with a lot of interesting and fun characters along the journey. Wesley is an awesome hero, played by Cary Elwes. Thought he does a really, really great job in this movie. He's very charismatic and is really good at the little hand-to-hand combat scenes. And they have little sniping comments that they have at each other throughout all of those. So those are all fun. Inigo Montoya and Fezzik are great sidekicks. And honestly, I think them two are the best part of the movie. They just have such good comedic timing, and they're just super charismatic. And I think they're probably the best part of the movie, in my opinion. I don't think any of the villains are particularly outstanding. Humperdinck and his little sidekick Rugen are kind of just chicken shits and unlikable. So they play the role of the villain that you're supposed to. They're supposed to be unlikable, and you're supposed to want them to get theirs, you know. And then Vizzini is another little side villain. He plays the annoying villain really well, but he's kind of enjoyable in kind of his zaniness that he has. And then Buttercup is a good enough damsel in distress, but she kind of comes across as emotionless and a little dry at times. But overall, great movie, great characters, and like I said, it's one of my absolute favorites. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wasn't expecting you to trash Buttercup, like kind of little trash Buttercup at the end there. Jedi. I mean, Robin Wright was, I thought, very good in this movie. Logan, it was just like a veiled shot, just kind of passed right through. Yeah, and she was, you know, she was emotionless. I think that was kind of like the, kind of what they were going for, though, right? Like kind of the strong... Yeah. Strong woman with the broken heart at the beginning, and like with the whole Humperdinck arranged marriage thing. Like she said she was dead inside, right? That's emotionless, Logan. She was acting.
Yeah,
she was,
I guess, acting. That's what they're going for. Yeah, I guess she did a good job there. Sorry.
But no, I mean, this is a classic film. Just a great, great movie. Like you, I think the three quasi villains at the beginning, right? I guess Vizzini is a villain, but he's funny. Inconceivable, right? He kept saying it, and he kept being
inconceivable.
Wrong.
Inconceivable.
Oh, you got that down. I thought he had just joined the podcast for a second, Logan. That was good. And then the two real guys that steal the show, like you said. Mandy Patinkin of Homeland fame, for anyone who's watched Homeland, he doesn't look quite the same, but as Inigo Montoya, and then Andre the Giant as Physique. So I think, especially considering where the bar had to be for this performance from Andre, right? Like, he had never really acted in anything, and... You know, obviously, like, English isn't his first language. I mean, he just really knocked it out of the park in this movie. He was fantastic. Dare I say, the single best performance by a wrestler in a movie, I believe, is Andre the Giant in this movie. What do you think about that, Logan?
Yeah, he's definitely up there for sure, if not the best. Yeah, I honestly thought he was one of the best parts of this movie, if not the best. He has so many one-liners, and just the character of the he plays just a simple giant that is just wants to help his friends out. I think he plays it really well. He does a really good job. So yeah, this is definitely in the top tier of wrestlers in movies for sure.
The rhyming thing at the beginning, very funny. And then just his first interaction with Wesley Dread Pirate Roberts, Man in Black, where he throws the rock and doesn't hit him on purpose. That would not be sportsmanlike. but throughout the movie, he's got the one-liners, and I don't know how to describe it, right? But I mean, for a big scary guy, I mean, he just comes off as such a sweetheart, like just like the biggest sweetheart in the movie, right? Like you have there's no way you can watch this and not like that guy, right? And to have no acting experience, really, right? I mean, unless you count the wrestling piece of it. that was not exactly what his wrestling character was. He was the big, intimidating giant. And, I mean, it's well-written, but he really delivered well. And, I mean, some of the stories from the set of this movie are pretty are pretty legendary, with some of the Andre fart and Andre drinking stuff from the set of the movie. But yeah, just a fantastic film overall. And it's interesting because not that many of these folks went on to really have big careers, right? You'd think for such a huge hit, I mean, was Fred Savage did Fred Savage, like, his star fly the highest after this movie? Because, yeah. Like, Carrie Elwes had an okay career. Mandy Patinkin, I wish I was more of a movie buff, but I, like, don't really remember him in anything until Homeland. Christopher Guest, who was Rugen, had his little, you know, run of all the films that I'm not, like, a huge fan of, but a lot of people like Best in Show, etc. And Robin Wright, she was good on the one with Kevin Spacey.
House of Cards.
Thank you very much. Don't get old.
And
Logan.
She was in Forrest Gump, too, so, I mean, I'd say, yeah, her and Savage are definitely probably the most.
It's probably her, but the fact that, I mean, Savage's career hasn't been anything to write home about, you know, I mean.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He was a big star on The Wonder Years when he was, you know, a teenager, and then that was about it, right? His little brother's even kind of surpassed him, right? From Boy Meets World.
I'd say they're about even, because he didn't really do anything after that either. So they
good point. They're both like one hit wonders.
Yeah, they kind of had their thing, and then it, you know, that was it. But I mean, those TV shows probably make them millions of dollars even to this day. So I think they're doing all right.
Oh, they're fine. They're fine. I was telling you before the show that when I was growing up, everybody told me I looked like Fred Savage. I mean, I don't know what a 10-year-old kid's gonna do with that, but it happened. So, and I was looking at him when I was watching. I was like, yeah, I guess I could see it a little bit. People, you look at the old pictures. I asked Katie. Katie said I can see it. I don't know if she might have just been humoring me, though. It's always always possible.
Yeah, you might have to shoot me a kid picture of you. I might have to check that out.
I got a few. There, we didn't have, you know, like anything digital back then, but I think I have some lying around. So, you know, here's something funny. So a little sidebar here. When I was about 20 years ago, I'd had a little bit of a rough go of it. And I was living with one of my friends, and I'd had like all my stuff at his house. And I ended up moving out, and you know, we're still good friends, but apparently there was like this plastic like Ziploc bag, like one of the big freezer bags that I kept like all my important stuff in. that I just left at his mother's, and she found it like 2 months ago. And he gave it to me. And I mean, it was like a time capsule, like one of these things that you bury that have like, you know, it's got like pictures of me with my old girlfriend and notes and like all this crazy stuff. So if you think of it, Logan, try to find something important like that and lose it. And then 20 years from now, find it again. And it makes things exciting. But that's kind of what this movie felt like. So this movie came out when I was 8 years old. I remember watching it when I was 8 or 9 years old and loving it. I was a pretty big WWE fan back then. So very excited to watch the movie with Andre. And it's the kind of movie that, you know, an 8 year old or an 80 year old can enjoy and follow. And so very, very, very good. And then before this, I hadn't seen it in a long time, but right when it started, it's just like I picked it right back up, and I was right back into it. Just a great flick.
Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't seen it in a few years for sure. And yeah, like you said, it's you could watch it anytime. It's so good. It's a great story. And like I said earlier, it has great characters throughout it. But yeah, it is kind of surprising, going back to what we were talking about before, that a lot more of the people didn't have more success out of this, especially Cary Elwes that played Wesley. He was so good in this. So it's, you know, the only other thing I can really think of that he's in is that I watched a bunch is Liar Liar. And he's like the random other stepdad guy that's in the movie that's dating the mom. And he's such a dweeb and a nerd in that movie. So
he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like I feel like I've seen him in stuff, but that's the only thing that really clicks in my head right now. But yeah, go ahead.
He was the douchebag in Twister, right, that got killed.
Oh, that's right.
And then he was the bad guy who ended up being the bad guy and Kiss the Girls. I don't know if you ever saw that. And then, I mean, but to your point, nothing that really, really jumps out. Saw might be the biggest one. And I mean, that wasn't exactly like an Oscar winning performance. I mean, it was a good movie, but I mean, he just, you know, kind of cried and bled through most of it. But yeah, I mean, and he's still acting. I mean, he still acts to this day, but
yeah.
But I mean, he really kind of had that look about him. Like he could be like a Leo or whatever. And just didn't happen.
I think, honestly, Wallace Shawn that plays Vizzini's probably been the most successful because he was in the Toy Story movies and is in, like, every Pixar movie. So he plays Rex in the Toy Story movies. So
he's got a great voice.
So, I mean, from playing a character in those kind of movies, I feel like financially he's probably pretty up there. So
oh, I'm sure he's done well. But I mean, he's a straight character actor. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The guy, he's probably never started anything. He was the... my favorite role of his was as the fucking dealer in Vegas Vacation. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, yeah, yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Oh, man, the dealer who just keeps kicking Clark's ass at blackjack.
And, oh, like, yeah. That's right.
He's really good. Really, really funny. So.
Yeah, he's great. He's great for sure.
Any of our listeners, it's a shit if Vegas Vacation had a wrestler in it. We would be doing it next week, but it doesn't. So go out and watch that on your own. But Logan, so you had briefly mentioned this in while we were messaging before the show, but do you think the movie could be made today?
I mean, I think the concept in general probably, but I like I was telling you, I think this is the perfect film. I think this is the perfect way for this film to be made. So my real answer is going to be no, because I just think this was made so perfectly and it's so good and it's a classic. And I just don't think it could be remade. Not in my opinion, at least. What do you think?
Do you think they would? I think they would make it today, right? Like,
oh yeah, they would. I don't know if they should though.
And I guess it's telling that it's never had like a reboot when every popular thing has had a reboot. So hopefully we're not wishing that into existence with this conversation. But okay, so I misunderstood. So I agree with you that they shouldn't remake this movie because It truly is almost perfect as it is. If they were going to remake it, I don't know. And that's the other thing. All the other movies we've done, like, I could at least kind of stretch and say, okay, this wrestler could have played so-and-so, right? Like, whatever. Like, Seth Rollins could have played the fucking Marine or whatever, right? But yeah. In this one, like, I truly can't think of anyone that could play the role that Andre played. I just, wrestler or non-wrestler, I think it was almost as if that role was written for him.
Yeah, it was lightning in a bottle for sure.
Right? I mean, because you think about the big guys. I mean, you couldn't, like, Braun Strowman or something. I mean, definitely not. It would be horrible.
Yeah, definitely. Big Show was the only one that came into my head, but I don't think he has anywhere close to the charisma that Andre would have in this role. So,
and you didn't know that Andre had that until, like, you didn't know, like I was saying earlier, it had to be a bit of a surprise how good he was. Like, I bet at the time, and I don't unfortunately remember, like, the critical response because I was only 8, but I imagine at the time that, you know, for adults being like, Andre the Giant's in a movie, right? Like, what? And for him to be so good. So I guess, because I think Big Show would be terrible, maybe he would knock it out of the park as well. But I don't think so.
I think he'd be all right, but he's not, you know, like I said, he's not even, he wouldn't even be near the level of Andre.
He'd be like, fee-fi-fo-fum.
I think it actually helped, like, Andre's character in this movie by the fact that he didn't speak, like, full-blown English either, and he kind of had that accent. It made him a little bit more lovable.
More than helped. It was, like, an integral part of the likability of the character.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I just think I agree with you that they shouldn't remake this one. They should just let it stand as is. So let's get into it. It's just so good.
Go ahead.
Just say, let's get into some of our favorite scenes, Logan. What was your favorite scene in the movie? What worked for you?
My name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. that's my favorite scene. That I'd be surprised if that wasn't yours, but yeah, that one's definitely my favorite. That just him repeating that line over and over again, and that whole sword fight where he's already, like, hurt going into it. So but is that your favorite as well?
That's a great scene. So I really enjoy the Bazzini character. Maybe some of it is the Vegas vacation thing. I'm a Vegas guy, you know, Logan.
Mm-hmm.
But I really love the scene with the poison, with Cary Elwes in the death of Vizzini character, where they go back and forth, and then Vizzini tries to outsmart him, and it's this whole big thing, and then the explanation is, I put poison in both of them. I built up a tolerance to it, and then he just dies. I thought that was really good. I thought that was really, really well done.
Yeah, he's just rambling the whole time, and he just all of a sudden just stops and keels over. Great. Yeah, that
you liked how they paid off the six finger man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I liked that he kind of got his revenge, and I really liked that whole scene. And, you know, he's just constantly repeating that phrase, and he eventually frustrates the guy and ends up killing him. So I'm glad he got his revenge.
You know, another scene that's real good, I thought, is when they bring him to, like, the sorcerer or whatever. He's like, not quite dead. What does he say? Pretty dead.
He's mostly dead.
Mostly dead. That's it. Mostly dead. And then they bring him back. I thought Billy Crystal's in the movie, so he's obviously the biggest star in the movie. But it was a bit part, so I left him out of our discussion a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he counted, so I kind of just didn't mention him. But yeah, he's definitely in there for sure.
but he's very good in that scene.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then, Logan, were there any other ones beyond the Inigo Montoya scene that you thought were real good?
No, I think we've hit the other couple that were that kind of stood out. So, but yeah, I mean, the whole movie's great, but those are the ones that stood out in my mind. The one that you mentioned and the one that I mentioned, of course.
Well, how about anything that maybe didn't work for you?
The freaking little kid that the grandpa was reading the story to. That kid was a shit.
Man, you're all over little cowboy.
Yep, little Fred. I'm not a big fan. He was kind of a dick to the grandpa. I would have shut the book about chapter one in when he started complaining. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the little kid.
What did you think about? So, do you know who the grandfather was? That it's a little before your time, but dude, Peter Falk, Columbo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recognize the name. I've never seen Columbo, but I recognize the name.
So he's a pretty iconic. Pretty iconic guy to have as the grandfather. So I'm sure that created a pop at the time. But what did you think about the way that they set it up? Right. So if it were you, would you have just lost the whole storytelling aspect altogether and just gone straight into like The Princess Bride, the book, that's the movie? Or do you think the kid's homesick and the grandfather's going to read him the book? Do you think that added to the movie?
No, I think that definitely adds to it. He's really fine, honestly. I just really was trying to search for something, and he kind of pissed me off when I was watching the movie. So that was the one thing that I picked out. But no, I think that adds to it. I think those little bit parts where they kind of break from the story kind of help it out a little bit and keep it pushing forward. So I think it's a good part. Yeah, he just kind of annoyed me a little bit. But like I said, this movie's awesome, so there's not too much bad to pick from.
Yeah, no, I agree that I think it definitely added to the film. Fred was a little annoying, but I know he is. He's my age. Basically, I think he might be a year older than me, but so he's an 8 or 9 year old kid. I think he was basically playing, you know, trying to play like a little snot-nosed 8 or 9 year old kid, right? Who's like a little pain in the ass. And then as he gets more, you know, at the beginning, he's like, this is going to suck. And then by the end, he's all into it and wants to read it again. Right. So that's kind of like part of the story is getting him, you know, getting this kid that's, in a lot of, you know, kids are like this, right, where it's like they undersell stuff, and getting him to kind of be into the wonderment that was The Princess Bride. You know what it reminded me of was, I assume you've seen Titanic, right?
Yeah.
So do you know the part in Titanic when where it's actually the way they do it is similar, right? They have the older woman telling the story, and then the whole movie is basically the story. But that one time when they cut away and like all the people on the boat in current day are like looking at the woman, just jaw dropped to the floor when she was telling the story. It was the same kind of thing for me, where it was like they use that to kind of reinforce that, yeah, what the audience is watching, the audience is feeling like, wow, this is great. And then you have somebody on the screen who's also the audience feeling like, wow, this is great. So I think it's a good little tool they used.
Yeah, and definitely. And like at the end, he's like, oh, hey, granddad, you can come back and read that story to me again. I would definitely enjoy that. So he obviously gets into it and he gets lost in it. Like, I'm sure the fans and the audience at the movie definitely got lost in it as well. So it's kind of cool to have somebody like you actually in the movie, you know, enjoying it as well. So I like how he gets lost in it by the end. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed that part for sure. And I think it helps it without a doubt.
I think we're bringing you around a little bit on Fred.
Like I said, he's actually all right. But I was just trying to find something that I didn't enjoy in it. So
I think he did a good job. So, I mean, I thought the movie, and so Logan, you know, one of the things you didn't mention around like what didn't work for you that you alluded to at the beginning was Robin Wright. Did you want to expand?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I just felt like she was a little dry at points, but I don't really know. I don't have a specific time or anything like that, but maybe that is what she was supposed to be. So I guess I'll get away from that one.
Cause I thought she was good, but I can see it. I can see if there was a weak link, she maybe could have been a little better. And think about it. I mean, she was House of Cards went right down the toilet once she was, once it was just her, everybody stopped watching. Well, I mean, there was probably other reasons at play there. I thought she was good in House of Cards, but I'm just trying to back you up a little here, Logan. I think she's a pretty good actress. I mean, that part,
no,
I thought she was good in that part, specifically for that part. I thought she was pretty well cast in that part. There wasn't much that didn't work for me. I thought Humperdinck was probably the weak point in the movie. I would have wanted more of like he was just kind of like a tool more than like a guy that I feared or like really strongly didn't like. He kind of had like this air of like pussiness about him. Do you know what I mean? Right from the beginning. And it was not, I think he could have been like more of an asshole. Do you know what I mean? Like more, I mean, he does do some crappy stuff, but he's just not intimidating like at all. Like, almost like, what was the was it the Scorpion King where the main villain like you weren't afraid of in the least? It was, right?
Yeah. He didn't do anything. Like, he was supposed to be this great fighter and great dude that had killed all the people that had come before him and or after him, and he just kind of gets jobbed out to the Rock at the end of the movie. So yeah, he definitely sucked. And you know, Humperdinck. Yeah, he's just kind of a wuss, kind of douchebag kind of guy. You know, I mean, Wesley's like laying on the bed as he comes into the into that room towards the end of the movie, and he just doesn't go straight after him to kill him like he could, because obviously he had been Wesley had been mostly dead, so he didn't have all of his faculties back yet, so he could have easily killed him, but he was too much of a wuss because Wesley's character was so witty and could like get into people's heads. So he kind of psyched him out, but he easily could have gone straight after him. So he was kind of a wuss deep down. So I definitely agree with you there.
Yeah. Wuss indeed. And again, just, I could have used, and it's a real nitpick. And I think he was playing the character the way he was supposed to play the character. But if I wrote the movie, I would have made him just be a little more of a threat, right? As much as you can make him in a PG movie, you know, more like the villain in Die Hard or something like that, you know, but obviously change the time period and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say he could have been a little harder. So, but yeah, I definitely agree with you. That could have been a little better.
Man, so Logan, I think this is the best movie that we've watched. I think I can say that clearly. That I think this is the best movie that we watched.
Without a doubt. And actually, the last movie we had watched was probably the best movie we had watched at that point, too. So, but yeah, I think this is definitely number one for sure.
We're on a good run.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So after our last podcast, I was feeling really strongly about The Predator. And I went to Vegas. I was in Vegas for something. And I really went out of my way to try to get like a really crazy big Predator tattoo, but the guy like wasn't free for the whole weekend that I was there, so he couldn't do it.
Damn.
I know. Did I send that to you?
Yeah, you sent me what you were thinking about getting, for sure. But I never really came back and asked, so I wasn't sure if you got it or not. But
oh, it never happened. I tried. I sent him the picture from I was in the air. And I should have planned this more. I was in the air, and I sent him the picture, And I think I might have aggravated him because I didn't take the time change into account when it was like 8 in the morning in New England. Said, good morning, sir. But he said, that tattoo is going to take all day. I'm booked up all weekend. You're going to have to schedule it for the next time you come out. So yeah. I don't know. I love Predator, but I was really flying high on the Predator stuff after our show, like 5 months from now. I don't know if that's what I would want to get. So do you think he did me a favor, or do you think it would have been cool to have like a Predator tattoo that took up like half my leg?
No, I think you're a huge fan of that movie, so I don't think you would have regretted it. I think it would have been a good idea.
I am, and I was looking, they had some like tribal Predator tattoos I could have done, but if you're going to do it, I say go for it. You know, I was going to do the Predator with the helmet on, bunch of shading, bunch of color. Definitely helmet on, though.
Yeah, definitely helmet on. You don't want that ugly ass alien on your face.
Helmet off, I think Katie would file for divorce just right away. Like, I can't sleep in the same bed as you anymore.
Yeah, that would be like an instant scare tactic. You could just flash your leg up there and shine a light on it, and it'd be like, ah!
Exactly. Wouldn't even need a house alarm or anything. If anyone ever broke in, just be like, listen,
I'm a predator.
But yeah, so I agree, Predator was the best movie. And they're very, very different movies. Very different absolutely. Movies.
Couldn't be more different.
But just head-to-head, Princess Bride is a better movie. It just is. And The Predator is a great fucking movie. But Princess Bride is a better movie. I'm really happy we got to do this one. I love Andre. Did you ever see the Andre documentary on HBO? Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really well done. Yeah. Really good. Yeah. And, you know, one of my first big wrestling memories was when he fought Hogan at WrestleMania 3. So this was back. I tell you these back stories, Logan, from before you were born. But this was back in the day. I remember my dad ordered it for me. Cowboy Senior ordered it for me. And it was on, you know, the TVs weren't exactly 1080p back then. You know, it was... It was on a little TV, and it was like back then when you, before you ordered the pay-per-view, it was scrambled, and but you could just hear it. So it was very rare that we would order one and it would be unscrambled. I remember I recorded it with a VCR. I recorded WrestleMania 3, and I watched WrestleMania 3 a minimum of 500 times after that. I watched it like every day for like a year. And I mean, I could, you know, seeing Aretha at the beginning, the whole nine. And so really watching this brought me back. Like, it was real nostalgic for me to watch this movie and just how larger than life Andre was. Like, in WrestleMania 3, he's a heel and he's a larger than life heel. And like, I don't think I can describe like how awesome I thought it was when Hogan body slammed him. And it didn't seem like I was alone there, like adults and stuff. Like, that place was crazy. And,
oh yeah.
And just an icon. And it's just like, I wish I was a little older, kind of, except I'd be older now, which I wouldn't want, but I wish I was a little older then. So I could have appreciated it even more, but just what an iconic figure.
Oh yeah, he's an amazing dude, and you know, like, his life was pretty rough those last few years. So I don't know that he was in a super bad place at this point, but you know, he comes off the high of WrestleMania 3 and then immediately does this. So this was at least a very good year financially for him. But yeah, just an amazing dude. It's amazing what he could do with some alcohol. It's amazing that he could move as well in the ring as he did for the size that he was for the longest time before he kind of, you know, somewhat broke down towards the end of his career. But he, you know, early in his career, he was flying all over the place and was amazing. So, but yeah, just an amazing dude. And he left us way too early for sure.
Absolutely. So another one in the books for us, Logan. Any do you have any final thoughts about The Princess Bride before we talk about all the other great stuff we have here on the North South Connection Podcast Network?
If you haven't seen this movie in a while, go turn it on. It's a great movie. It's a classic, like we've been talking about. Andre's great in it. You know, all the other characters are awesome. It's got great fight scenes. It's got funny parts. It's got, you know, dramatic parts. So it's got a little bit of everything. And I just think it's a great movie. And I, like I said, if you hadn't seen it in a while, go turn it on and watch it for an afternoon. If you have a little bit of free time, for sure.
And it is free on Disney Plus as well. Exactly. For anybody who has Disney Plus.
So well, we finally watched a movie that I didn't have to rent. Yes.
Correct. I saved the $3. So yeah, fantastic. But yeah, I agree with Logan. For, you know, regardless of your age, if you remember this when it came out, even more so, right? But like, regardless of your age, just turn it on, enjoy it. It's a good, wholesome, watch it with the kids kind of flick, and just really, really, really solid stuff. So we were happy to watch it. I probably wouldn't have watched it if it wasn't for doing this show. So it was I'm happy that we do this show so I can watch these things. And exactly. Like this show, we have other shows here on the North South Connection Podcast Network that Logan will talk to you about now.
All right. Yeah, we got other great shows for sure. Wrestling Warzone is one with JT and Chad. They just did SummerSlam 96. That's when they're going through the Monday Night Wars. They go back and forth from WCW to WWF. No Holds Barred. JT and Aaron do that one. They go through a potpourri of topics. They do some lists. They're going through every title change of the WWE Championship throughout the years. I think that's a new project they're about to start. JT, Matt Souza actually joined the Extreme Three-Way Dance crew, but that's them two and Jennifer Smith going through ECW. Aaron George is wrapping up the year that was. He's got 1987 and 1997 left to do. He hadn't quite revealed which order they're going to be in, but those are the last 2 years for that project. That one's been a real fun one to go through. The Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, that's Jay Goodby. He always has a guest. He's going through the Ruthless Aggression era, started in March 2002, and he's up. He just passed No Mercy 2002, so he's on the build to Survivor Series 2002. So looking forward to him building towards that one. TNA Never Dies, that's Aaron, JT, and Jenny. They're going through TNA from the beginning. JT has his mailbag every now and then. He'll read some listener questions and kind of dive into it. Now earning the Royal Rumble, that's Aaron and JT as well. They're breaking down every Rumble entrant throughout the years. We have a new one, a new AEW podcast. It's called You Know What That Means. That is Jordan Duncan and Andrew Reich. They did a preview for All Out before that show happened. It was a really good listen. So definitely listen to that one. WCW Must Die. It's kind of a playoff of TNA Never Dies, but WCW eventually did die. So that's Johnny C and Aaron George. They're kind of going through the last, I think, year or so of WCW. 90210 No So, that is JT and Tim. They're going through Beverly Hills 90210 episode by episode. Second Print Comics, that's Mark Claire and Remzo Martinez. They talk about a comic storyline. You just go through some different books that are about certain storylines in the comics. This week in the NFL, I'm sure he's going to come back with you, Cowboy, Senior, D'Amato, and Ryder. New Gen on a Mission, that's Justin Pratt and Tim Slomka. They go through the New Generation era. We have a new one called Chronoso. It's a bunch of us going back and forth. One group will do the PG era, and the other one's going to do the NWA and WCW pay-per-views and clashes. And then Viewer's Choice is Marcus and Tim. They do a live reaction to every pay-per-view. So that happens after every NXT TakeOver, AEW pay-per-view, WWE pay-per-view. And then Sean and Matt Souza do a whenever there's an Impact special event or whatever you want to call it, they'll do a review of it. But that's pretty much everything we got going on right now.
Thanks, Logan. You do a great job at that. And for my one other show, yes, we are. We missed our preview. Senior, myself, this is on Senior and me. We were too busy last week, and we were just unable to find a time that worked. But we are recording our first episode tomorrow, and we will make it a little bit of an extra long episode where we'll do it'll essentially be a preview, and then we'll probably, you know, trash the Packers a little bit for playing so horrible on Sunday. But very good. Thank you, Logan. So that's a lot of great stuff. And please tune in, everybody. So another one in the books, like I said, Logan, this was a great movie. Sometimes with the great movies, there's not a lot to like say negative. And that was the case here. But overall, I think I was happy to be able to pay homage to such a great film. So as always, for Crossland, I'm Cowboy. We're Cowboy and Crossland. And tune in next month, everybody. Take care.